I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's the last thing that one of the greatest apostles and Christians that ever lived wrote. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, 14 if you count the book of Hebrews. You may not believe everything I believe, but don't try to convince me to believe something you believe unless you can convince me through the Scriptures. That's the position we all should take. See? And as I read this letter this morning, there's some things that this woman wrote about that we differ on. And I will try to show her from the Scriptures that difference. But I'm not going to believe what she believes just because she believes it. I'm not going to believe what a person comes to this church and says they believe if they can't convince me through the Scriptures. And if I can't convince you through the Scriptures, I don't expect you to believe it either. That's how people are misled and deceived. And that's how this false prophecy and false prophets flourish. The Apostle Paul, writing the last book, the last chapter of the last book to his son in the faith, Timothy, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's going to die. He knows he's going to die. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens unto Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I have left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, of whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Here's a man that's getting ready to die, leaving a charge, leaving words of wisdom and words of advice to a man that he has called on many times to go places, to help out in the ministry, and to be a help and a blessing to others. The last thing Paul says is, do thy diligence, verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Winter's coming on. Paul's thinking about the near future. And he's thinking about what has happened in the past. And he's thinking about the time of his departure, the fact that it is at hand. He's reviewed his life. He's looked back on what he has done in his life, and he says this about his ministry, "I'm now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." Paul was a fighter. He wasn't a man in the Roman army. He wasn't physically a fighter, but he was a fighter when it came to contending for the faith. He was a fighter when it came to fighting the good fight of faith. He was a fighter when it came to doing what's right. He was a fighter for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a soldier of Jesus Christ, and he fought against the prince of the powers of the air. He wrestled not against flesh and blood, but against the devil. And at the end of his life, he said, "I have fought a good fight." Not only that, he said, "I have finished my course." God laid a course out. God didn't give him a map. He didn't give him a literal map that had a course on it and says, "Here's where you're going to go, right here, 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 here." Paul prayed. Paul asked God to open doors. Paul asked God to help him to open his mouth boldly. He went to where the door opened. He preached to where other men had not preached, lest he lay upon their foundation. He went the direction that he felt that the Lord wanted him to go. And when he went the direction that the Lord didn't want him to go, he was willing to stop and say, "Okay, I need to get going in the direction once again that God wants me to go." And he finished his course. Every single one of us in here has a course. We have a course that God has set us out on as Christians. And it's important for us. We will finish our life, but we might not finish our course. We will live until God says, "I want you," and then you'll die. But that doesn't mean you've finished your course. You have not finished your course until you've done the things that God has wanted you to do. Go the places God has wanted you to go. Be the witness God has wanted you to be. And do the things every day, day by day, one day at a time, taking no thought for tomorrow, for the sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. But just living one day at a time and saying to God, "I want to do something for you today. I want to live for you today." And when you do that day after day after day after day, you come to the end, you can say, "I finished my course." And then he said, "I've kept the faith." A lot of people start out keeping the faith, but they fall from the faith. They depart from the faith. And that's why Paul told Timothy to preach the word. And he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap after their own lusts teachers having itching ears." He said over there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith." It was the same thing going on in Paul's day that's going on today, where people departed from the faith. They get tied up with the false prophets and in false religion and in false doctrine, and they don't keep the faith because they depart from the Word of God. And brother, I'll tell you what, it's probably even worse today with all these so-called Bibles out there on the market that claim to be the Word of God, and they're not the Word of God. There's one book that shines bright above all the others. And that's the AB 1611, commonly known as the King James Version, which is the Word of God. But how many Christians know and believe that today? But Paul, after reviewing his past, said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." He's thinking about the reward that's shortly going to come his way. And that reward is going to be a crown of righteousness. Paul's thinking about that. There in that Roman prison cell, he's thinking about the judgment seat of Christ and the crown of righteousness and how great it's going to be for the Lord to present him the crown of righteousness. Place that crown upon his head. He said, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." But then he says this, But not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The Apostle Paul reveals something here about rewards. And the revelation is this. He's not the only one that's going to get the crown of righteousness. But he said, you can get the crown of righteousness. And you can get the crown of righteousness for merely loving his appearance. He says, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There should be no reason why every single one of us in here cannot at least receive one crown at the judgment seat of Christ. And to receive that crown, all you have to do is love his appearing. Lose your love for the world and have a love for the appearing of Jesus Christ. Lose your love for some of the things you have hold so dear and start praying, even so, come Lord Jesus, and love his appearing. And just for loving his appearing and waiting for him to come, watching for him to come, loving it to the place where when he shows up, you're going to rejoice. Loving his appearing can gain you a crown at the judgment seat of Christ. But Paul says, come before winter. He gives a charge to Timothy, tells Timothy what to preach. He says, reprove. There in verse 2, reprove. That's why people don't love preaching, because it reproves them. Reprove, rebuke. People don't like to hear rebuke. That's why they don't like preaching. And then exhort. And that means stir somebody up to where they want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if these things are not done, the time is going to come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Paul's ready to go, and you and I should be ready to go. And sound doctrine is not being preached today, and people are getting messed up and deceived as the days and weeks go by, as the church age is closing. But then Paul points out this. He says in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me. There in that prison cell, he's thinking about men that have been a blessing to him and men that have been a heartache and a heartbreak to him. His life is ending. It's going to end. It's at hand. His departure is at hand. He's reviewing. And as he's reviewing a man named Demas, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And I'll tell you what. I wouldn't want to have the greatest Christian that ever lived put something down in his memos. Or memoirs, whatever you call them, that this person was a friend, this person was with me, this person was a blessing, but this person has forsaken me because they loved this present world. Sad to say, that's what happens to a lot of Christians. They don't just forsake the house of God. They don't just forsake the fellowship of the saints. They don't just forsake some leader that's a spiritual leader in their life. But they forsake the Lord. Amen. When you allow the love of the world to creep into your heart to the place where you love this world, and you set your priorities according to what the world wants rather than according to what Jesus Christ wants, then you're getting ready to forsake the Lord. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas heard Paul pray. Demas heard Paul preach. Demas watched Paul suffer. Demas watched Paul being chased by a people that were against the gospel. And he was right there with him. He was a sidekick. He was a partner at one time. But Demas got to looking at the world. He got to looking around at the things that the world had to offer, and the fame of the world, and the pleasures of the world, and the fortune of the world, and the way of the world. And the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. A lot of Christians, that could be the epitaph placed on their tombstone. They once followed Christ. They once walked with God. They once believed the book. They once contended for the faith. But they got looking around at the world, they've forsaken the Lord, having loved this present world. If you get to the place where you fall in love with the world, you'll quit being a soldier for Jesus. You'll quit being a soul winner. You won't care anymore. Paul's thinking about that. As he's in this Roman cell, he's thinking about things that have happened in the past, about judgment that's going to take place in the future, about people that fellowshipped with him at one time. He says, as you read down through there, he says, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Luke is a physician, he's a doctor. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus. And he's thinking about the people that he ministered with and how he sent them out to go different places. Demas was his heartbreak. Luke was his faithful physician and aide. But he's thinking about this. Winter's coming. Winter represents a lot of things. It represents the end of life. It represents old age. It represents the end of a dispensation. It represents the fact that the harvest is over and past. Now winter is coming. When we find ourselves in the throes of winter, you know what we look forward to? We look forward to spring coming, when everything's going to come back to life, because we've been looking at death for 6 months. We've been looking at barren trees and barren fields, and we've been looking at nature and how that nature has died, but it's going to spring back to life, and it's called spring, and nature comes alive again. So it is with the cycle of life. You have your springtime of life. You have your summer of life. You have your fall of life. And then winter comes. And Paul's thinking about winter. And he tells Timothy, as he writes this letter, he says, I want you to bring some things with you. He says in verse 13, bring the cloak that I left at Troas. He wants that cloak because he's cold. Winter's coming. He's in a cell. He's in a jail. I don't know whether you went out last couple of days. Some of you that went hunting knows how it is when you go out there in that cold. And even though you have a lot on, you sit there for about an hour and a half. Next thing you know, your body starts losing its heat. And feet get cold. And your hands get cold. And then your ears get cold. And pretty soon you're shaking all over because your whole body's cold. Paul's thinking about winter coming. He said, bring the cloak. But he said, not only that, when you come, bring with thee the books. He's going to be there by himself in that lonely cell. Not going to have any Christians to fellowship. But he said, so bring the books. That'll get me through. Bring the books. He said, but especially the parchment. That's what Paul wants, is the parchments. That's what the scriptures are written on, the parchments. He says, make sure you bring those. Isn't it strange? Paul might not have been able to read his Bible every day. The writer of scriptures wanted somebody to bring him the parchments. He's sitting there in that cell. He has no Bible like you have. He has no 66 books bound in a leather cover. And he's in jail. And he wants to read the scriptures. He says, bring the parchments. And then he tells Timothy, he says, come before winter. I don't know exactly the time of year it is. It might be summer, it might be fall. But he says, come before winter. We've had our first little taste of winter, and yet officially winter is not really here yet. I think winter is officially here December the 21st. But we know this, summer's over. We know this, fall is gone. We know this, winter is on us. Winter's coming. Winter represents time running out. The end of the year. The end of this year is coming upon us. Time is running out. When we see the leaves turn color, we amaze and marvel at the beauty of nature. But it lasts so short of time. Just a few weeks and all those leaves are blown off the tree. I've made it a habit to watch and mark the time every year when the leaves leave the trees. They always leave the first week of November. By the second week of November, most all of the leaves have shed, or trees have shed their leaves. And now they're not going to come back again until the middle to the end of April. There'll be no leaves on the trees. Time is running out when you see those leaves turn color and fall to the ground. Winter's coming. And that represents time running out. Winter's coming for every single one of us as far as life is concerned. Time is running out. And as time runs out, the important question is this. Do you know for sure that you're saved? As time runs out, can you put your finger on a period of time when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? When I asked that lady this morning if she was saved, she said, yes. I said, when did you get saved? She said, when I was a little girl. I said, how did you get saved? She said, I confessed all my sins. She said, I confessed every sin that I could remember. She said, I went all the way back to the first memories of childhood and confessed my sins. And then I confessed the sins that I might have committed when I was a baby and didn't realize that I sinned. She said, I confessed them. You know what I said? That's not salvation. Salvation is not confessing every sin that you can remember, because if you forget one, then are you saved? If you forget two, are you saved? Salvation is in Jesus Christ. It's in what He has done. It's not what in anything you do. It's not in you confessing anything. Outside of confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, outside of confessing with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, outside of that confession, that's the confession that saves you. But going back through your life and trying to remember every sin that you've committed, that's an impossibility. God never told anybody to do that to be saved. And here's a woman running around saying she's raising people from the dead. And if she tells a person how to be saved, you know what she's going to tell them? Confess every sin that you've ever done. And that person will get down and pray and confess every sin that they can remember. And they're not going to be saved. That doesn't save you. Faith is what saves you. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on Jesus is what saves the soul. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And he was saved, and his house got saved that night. Amen. It's believing on Jesus Christ. Time's running out. Time, as far as life is concerned, is running out. Time is running out for you to serve the Lord. I probably mention this about every week, doing something for Jesus Christ. Serving the Lord in some way. Asking for an open door. Watching for an open door. And sometimes even seeking for an open door where you can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and serve God in some capacity. We don't all serve the same way. You certainly don't serve like I serve, and I don't serve like some of you serve. But I'm thankful for everyone that's serving the Lord in the way that God wants them to serve. There's some of you here that are witnessing on the job. I won't come down to your job and do any witnessing. But I'm thankful for you being down there witnessing to people that I'll never know. People that I'll never get the chance to preach to. I go up to Art Martin's every year. And Art Martin, he's a strange fellow. I love him in the Lord. He's a blessing. He's probably the best pastor that I know. I mean, if someone calls him at 1 o'clock in the morning, he'll get up and get dressed. And he'll go visit that person at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, he has such a heart for people and such a love for people that it puts me to shame. It really does. He thinks all the time about the needs of others. He'll be sitting there and his wife will say, now, Art, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done that? He'll say, no, I haven't. Not yet. Well, you know, you need to get this stuff done. I'm up there, you know, to hold a meeting. And she'll say, you know, you need to get this stuff done. He'll say, yeah, I know. then they'll say, you know, we need to go over to the rest home this afternoon and visit so-and-so. We need to go up to the hospital and visit so-and-so. And we need to go over here to this guy's house because it's been at least 2 weeks since I've been over there to see him and visit him. And you know what he's doing? He's not thinking about little jobs that he has to do. He's thinking about people that he needs to help. People that he needs to pray for. People that he needs to be a blessing to. I went up there 1 year. It was when he was still laying bricks. He said, now, Bruce, he said, I'm going to be working down right down the road down here. He said, at lunchtime, I want you to come out to the job site that I'm on. And he said, I want you to preach to the men that I work with out there. So I'd go down to the job site and get out of my car, and Art would say, okay, fellas, he said, I got a special treat for you here today. Brother McDowell's holding a meeting up at the church, and I've asked him to come down here and preach to you, and so just listen up, he's going to preach. And I'd open my Bible, man, stand right there on the house site, and I'd preach the Word of God to him. Now, you probably won't be able to get me into your job to do that, but he was able to do that, and I had the chance to preach to the guys on his job. But the jobs that I will never go to, there's where you come in. You're serving the Lord when you go into your job and you have the tracks laying out there and you have a chance to witness to someone, or someone comes to you and asks you to pray for them. Listen, they need more than prayer. That's just their way of saying to you, can you help me somehow? Behind that statement, would you pray about this, is an empty life. It's somebody that's desperate for something, some help. And they know you pray. So they come to you because they want help. And so just don't slough it off and say, yeah, I'll pray for you. But say, sit down a minute. I'll be glad to pray for you. Help me out a little bit. Is there something going on that you can be specific about, that I could pray with you about? And they might start unloading on you. And if they do, just let them unload. And once they unload, then ask them this question. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you're going to pray for them. But they've opened a door for you to be a witness to them. Amen. That's what they want. They want somebody to tell them what they can do, because they're thinking about life and dying and the end. You see, winter's coming. Winter's coming. And people are running out of time as far as life is concerned. And people are running out of time as far as serving the Lord is concerned. Come before winter. Come before winter means time is running out as far as this dispensation is concerned. And I'll tell you what, the more I study the future, that woman said when she tried the spirits, that it scared her, the evil and the wickedness that she saw herself involved in scared her. Listen, when I study that tribulation period and I study what's going to happen in this world, it scares me to know that these things are going to take place. I'm not going to be here. But boy, it sure does put fear in me for others that I know that are going to miss salvation by grace. The door of grace is going to slam shut one day. When that rapture takes place, this dispensation will be over. The revival era is over. The Lord closed that door, and we haven't seen revival for 100 years in this country. Strong militant churches are over. That's a thing of the past now. There are very few churches you're going to go into and there's going to be a militant spirit there and men standing up and women standing up and singing Onward Christian Soldiers and sing Hold the Fort for I Am Coming and sing songs about being a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ and carrying the banner. Because that's not the picture of Christianity today. See, it's not a militant Christianity. It's a soft, effeminate, be nice, be kind, be positive. All that stuff. That's what's viewed as good Christianity. And strong militant churches are gone. The doors that were once open for us to go throughout this nation and proclaim the gospel, those doors have closed in many places and are closing. Even as Tony spoke this morning about, yes, you can pray. but you can't mention Jesus. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like Pharaoh and the children of Israel wanting to leave, and Pharaoh saying, well, you can go, but you have to leave your cattle here. You can go, but you have to leave your little ones here. You can go, but you can't go and do what God wants you to do. That's Pharaoh telling you how to do your Christianity. And that's what's happening in America today. The doors are closing because the dispensation is running out. Time is running out. If you're going to be a blessing, you need to do it now because time is running out. You see, winter's coming. Winter's coming, and that means time is running out. You can be a blessing. You can be an influence. You can be a help to someone now, but time is running out. Timothy, are you going to make it before winter? Timothy, are you going to be able to bring the cloak and the books and the parchments? Timothy, come before winter. Time is running out. Time's running out for people to develop character. We need men and women of character today that are going to be able to stand in the hard times. It takes character to stand in the hard times. Anybody can stand in the easy days. It takes character to stand in the last days. Amen. And hard times are coming. People now don't want to take a stand for anything. I mean, they don't want the confrontation. They don't want to stand. Just like that woman that called this morning. If anyone disagreed with her, they had to be wrong. I said, listen, you don't have to agree with me. I certainly don't agree with you. But I said, it's a free country. You can believe anything you want. And I said, you know something? I can believe what I want too. I said, the difference between me and you is you're going to believe some dream you had or some vision you had or some miracle you claim to have seen or done, and I'm going to believe what the Bible says. That's the difference. And you know something? It's going to take character to stand for the Word of God in the last days because we are getting ready to come under attack, probably like America has never seen, and not by the terrorists, but by the false prophets that are encompassing our land every day. Time's running out. Come before winter. Winter's coming. Right now you have time to develop some character. You have time to be a blessing. You have time to be a witness. You have time to point someone else to Jesus. But winter is coming. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for Your Word. We're thankful for the testimony of Paul, for the things that he admonishes us about. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's never been saved, I pray, Lord, that they would search their heart right now, see and realize that they're not here by accident, but, Lord, Your providential hand has guided them to this place. And Lord, they're here because You want them to hear the Word of God. You want them to hear about Jesus. You want them to hear about the great salvation that was bought for them when Your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross. Lord, at this time of year, many people are willing to remember the baby in the manger, but they don't want to think about the Christ that died on the cross and suffered and bled and was in agony and shame, hanging on the cross for their sins. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that has never trusted You as their Savior, that they would come this morning. They'd turn their back on the world and on the devil and come to Jesus Christ this morning and put their faith and trust in You. God, speak to their hearts and deal with them. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a closing hymn this morning. you have anything picked out, Shirley? Let's turn to page 2. Let me see. 249. It's an old invitation song. Just as I am. I believe it's a scriptural song. Because Jesus wants you just like you are. See, Jesus doesn't want you to change anything. He wants to change it for you. And that's what salvation does. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He'll make the changes. He just wants you to come as you are. Let's sing this old hymn. We'll sing a couple verses. If you need to come this morning, if you're saved and you need to come and just pray about doing something for the Lord in these last days, you come. If you need to pray about somebody else, you come. If you're in here this morning and you cannot point your finger on a time when you know you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you need to come and let me talk to you for a few minutes about salvation. Whatever God has spoken to your heart about, this is your time to respond and to do something about it as we sing this invitation hymn. Just as I am without plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb, God, I come, I come. Just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, thee whose blood can cleanse, spot, O Lamb, God, I come, I come. Just as I am tossed about, many a conflict, many a doubt, kneeling and fears within, doubt, O Lamb of God, I come. Okay, let's bow our heads for just a moment. And maybe you need to pray. Maybe you don't feel like coming down here at this altar and praying. But maybe you need to pray about someone, something. Winter's coming. Time's running out. Spring may come, but spring may not come. Time's running out for someone. Someone you know. Maybe someone you love. Pray for them. There are certain people that I pray, every time I pray for those people. Because I know this, time is running out. It would probably scare me to see how much time some of us right in here have. But time's running out. Let's make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. Be a blessing. Be a help. Okay, let's sing verse number 4 and 5. If you need to come, come as we sing. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind. All I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. I come, just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, cause thy promise, believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we can come to You, bring every problem that we have to You, bring every sin that we've committed to You. Lord, I pray that if there's one person in here today that has not come to You for salvation, that You would not let them rest, that You would prick their conscience and their heart with the Word of God, that they would come to the place where they desire to know Jesus Christ and have a knowledge of salvation. Lord, I'm thankful for each person that's come this way this morning. I pray that You would bless each family here, bless each individual. Watch over us on the road, Lord. Be with those that couldn't make it out this morning. I know Steve's wife was down and Max couldn't get out, Lord. And people up in Wilmington didn't know whether to try it. And God, I pray that You would be with them and bless them. And Lord, give them something spiritual today to think about. And then help us, Lord, that we might be a blessing to others and might be of service to You. And Lord, our prayer would be that You would come before winter. Lord, that You would come before this day, this week is over, that we might be with You and rejoice forevermore. Now, Father, have Your way in our lives and dismiss us with Your blessings. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight, 6 o'clock for discipleship, 7 for the preaching.